Hi, my name is Bobby Kamari and I want to thank you for joining me for the Living in Light podcast, where we explore the beautiful ways that God shows up with his love, light and liberty in and through everyday people like you and me. The theme for season 3 is the preparation and maturity of the bride, where we cultivate a deeper hunger and devotion for our bridegroom as we prepare for his return, as we go against the grain of culture, as we rise up in being salt and light, bold in truth and radical in love, and doing all of this from a place of deep intimacy with the Lord. This is part 2 of my conversation with the beautiful Elizabeth Klanger, where we are talking about her journey from the occult into the presence of God and the kingdom of his light. And I really pray that part 2 will bless you, because it certainly blessed me.
You know, the devil has power, but he has no authority. And the thing is, the more he gives you, the more he wants.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So many things going on in my mind right now, Elizabeth, but two things. When you're saying that, three things actually. First, let me just say this to anyone that's watching or listening. Like, you do not have to fear. You do not have to fear, because like Elizabeth has just said, you know, the devil and these demons, they cannot stand true light. It will burn them. And as the children of God, we do not have to fear the realm of darkness, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And actually, when we have Christ in us, I mean, the devil's got nothing on us. These demons have got nothing on us. However, the demonic realm is real. And I come across so many Christians who have been saved. You know, they've been Christians for years, and they have no grid for the demonic realm. They have no grid for the spiritual realm. And they don't even realize that they're actually under oppression. They don't realize that certain doors have opened. And so although I don't want anyone to fear or you know, get shook because of the things that you're sharing, Elizabeth, but at the same time, I do want there to be a sobering that understands that the realm of darkness is real, and that actually we are in the realm of darkness by default until God delivers us out of that realm of darkness and brings us into that realm of light. And that sometimes we can get saved and come into the realm of light, but we have to contend for our freedom. We have to actually contend for, you know, and because the enemy does not want us set free. So I want people to mature. I want the bride of Christ to mature and actually understand that the spiritual realm is real, and that we are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. We are first and foremost spirit. But I also just want to say, in regards to what you have said about the enemy has power, and the fact that you had to pay so much. You know, the thing is, the power of darkness is limited. You know, as Christians, we have unlimited power, because God is omnipotent.
And Amen.
You know, we get to actually have his unlimited power within us. We really maxed out our power today. You know, we're going to have to wait till next week to get more anointing. No, when you're in Christ, the anointing is endless. Whereas because this demonic anointing and the power in the realm of darkness, it is limited, because they can't just go to the enemy's camp and just withdraw power. You know, like, it has to come in ways that aren't so free, which is why there has to be payment, which is why you have to pay to obtain this power. Whereas in the kingdom of darkness, Jesus already paid. In the light, Jesus already paid us, you know. I just wanted to make that point. And then, babes, I would just love to just, so how was it for you in relationships? So, because you don't want to be around humans, you got no time for ordinary people, you're part of this realm where everything is just so supernatural, you don't want to spend time with the family. What was relationships like for you? Did anyone ever get close to you as you're journeying through this life in the occult?
Well, I think my relationships were mainly with the witches and the warlocks that I was part of their circle. And they very much groomed me as a young woman, for 15 years, that I really kind of grew up with them. And so, in terms of any kind of romantic relationships, again, I would sort of use those sort of powers that I had, to get what I wanted, whether it was kind of, having spells or information about a particular person. But I was, yeah, I just, I was practically living dead. That was how I would describe those years of my life. I don't, recognize who I was then, because it wasn't me.
It reminds me of Ephesians 2, where it speaks about us being corpses. Like in the world, we are corpses. We think that we're, before we know Jesus, we think like, oh, we're amazing and we're doing life and we're living at large, but we're walking dead. We're corpses until he actually resurrects us and raises us from the dead. And so tell me, how did you come out of the occult and how did you come into Jesus's glorious love and light?
Hallelujah. It's amazing, Bobby. His amazing grace and his mercy and his love for us, even as the sinners, and even when I rejected him, which I'll go on to tell you. So one day, and I always say that this was a blessed day for me. I was sitting in my sanctuary where I would worship Buddha and all the Hindu gods. So I had a kind of mirage of Hindu gods and, the Asian Mother Mary. And I also had an image of Jesus, but not as Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but Jesus as an ascended master that I would call on for healing power. However, one day I was just full of demons. And I tore this image, his image, off my wall. And I said to him, "I don't need you." And Bobby, that must have gone straight to his throne, because the next thing I heard was a voice that I know was the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, with all power and authority, but this voice had love as well. And he said, "You are going to meet the devil and you have to choose." And I was almost like, who said that? Because I knew all of my so-called spirit guides. I had a whole animal, I even had a white tiger that, was with me at the time, in the spiritual realm. So I had a whole host of spirits, but this voice was loving. This voice had power and authority.
So then what happened?
And so I filed his image away in my drawer, and the next thing I went to work. So I was working in an art gallery and managing a team of staff. And at the time, we were really short staff, so we suddenly had agency come out of nowhere. And this
It's to me.
person, so I didn't know. We never knew if this we'll call her, she was called Leslie, but we didn't know. She was so androgynous that we didn't know if she was a girl or a boy. So, we thought, okay, let's say she was a girl. So amazingly, God sends a young evangelist in this agency to now work with us. And the devil also sends someone to officially recruit me to the dark side. So I never believed in the devil, even though I had served him for 15 years of my life. I thought I was serving God. I thought I worked for the light and for healing. So one day, I remember we were in the galleries, and I was managing, say, Leslie and Alfred, who was this wonderful young believer, and I'm now I'm and I'm also running these meditation classes within the gallery that I was getting paid for, that I was now recruiting, the whole of this art institution into the occult without them knowing. And so Leslie comes up to me and she says, you really look like Meghan Markle. And you see the catch, you see the snare.
Look,
And I said, so she approaches me with a compliment. And I said, oh yeah, I do get that. And she said, Meghan Markle is where she is because of voodoo. And I said, no, I didn't know that. And she said, yeah, because her mum is from Haiti. And my mum is from Haiti and my auntie's from Haiti and we practice it. So I then stopped the conversation by saying, oh, I have these, because I had these wolves in the spirit. And this is how demonic I was becoming, Bobby, that in these, this is the last year of witchcraft now, where if I didn't like my neighbor, I would send these spirit wolves to silence them, to do my bidding. So I was now trying to get advice from her and saying, it's not working. I'm sending these wolves and I don't know what to do. And she's now giving me spiritual advice. And at this on the same day, I then move on to my colleague Alfred, who is a wonderful born again believer. And he says to me, oh, Liz, I heard about your meditation classes. Do you know anything about astral projection? And I said, yeah, I do it all the time. If you give me your address, I can be there in a flash. And I can even tell you what you've got in your house. And he said, can I send you a video? It's about astral projection. And I said, yeah, sure. And he sent me the testimony of John Ramirez, who, for anyone who doesn't know, John Ramirez was a high priest in Santeria and was miraculously saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I receive this video now from Alfred that said, so John Ramirez's testimony, and it was titled Out of the Devil's Cauldron. And just to show my ignorance, I was thinking, why do I want to watch that? That's scary. That's about the devil. I don't want to watch that. So I didn't what I was too afraid to watch it. So as the day ended, I decided to follow, because we were working for the security side of the gallery, I decided to follow Leslie down and see why she does what she does. I was so curious. I was tempted. And in this small room where we kept our radios and our coats, we closed the door and I said to her, why do you do what you do? Because I work for the light, not knowing the light was Lucifer. I work for the purpose of healing. And she said, I work for s demons. I work for Satan. And I summon demons. And it was there that I heard the laughter of Satan within her. And it everything just stood still. I was absolutely terrified. And I then have this thought that she's going to kill me because she failed in her assignment. I knew. I was like, I'm not signing up to this, and she's failed her assignment. So now she's going to kill me without her saying a word. So I was being very nice to her until I just ran out of the workplace, ran home. And again, in my ignorance, I am looking frantically for a crystal talisman that I thought would save me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me again in that moment, and he said, put on your cross is the strongest weapon. And there, after 15 years of darkness, Bobby, I put on the cross of Jesus Christ, and this freedom came over me.
Wow. Did you, I remember you sharing, you had an experience where the Lord was where Jesus showed up. So talk me through that experience.
Yeah. So I then felt led to watch. So I'm holding my phone, I'm wearing my cross, and which in a sense it was a symbol, you know, that was me accepting his resurrection power to save me, accepting him as my Lord and my Savior, because I knew I was going to die. I knew I was in the middle of two kingdoms, even though I never read the Bible. So I had this Bible for 8 years in my cupboard. And that week, I thought, I'm going to throw this away because I'm never going to read it, you know. And amazingly, I found it on the top of a pile of books as I was going to Morrison's, that I was actually going to throw all this stuff away, and the Lord sort of put it on top. So I've now got my phone with me, and I decide to watch the video that Alfred has sent me. And as John Ramirez shares his powerful testimony, and how there was, when he speaks, he says that mediums are agents of the devil. I just fell to my knees and I cried out, Bobby, in true repentance. I mean, it was just so raw. I said, what have I done? What have I done? I was just, and I started to just shred all of my tarot cards and my Ouija boards. I mean, my family thought I was going crazy. They were like, what are you doing? You know, you've got a successful business. Like, why are you shredding everything and throwing, you know, hundreds of pounds of books and really expensive crystals, and just really getting rid of everything and just crying out to him and saying, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. What have I done? What have I done? It was really a moment of true repentance.
Wow. God.
Oh, and then I'll tell you about the encounter as well that I had. So that night, as I went to bed, I was awoken at 3 in the morning, and the Lord Jesus Christ was standing on the right hand side of my bed. And he said to me, I entrust you, my little lamb, bring light to those who are in darkness.
Wow.
I never read the Bible, so I didn't know why he was calling me a lamb. I didn't know that he's our shepherd and that we are his sheep and his lambs.
Yeah.
And you know, when he said, I entrust you, he trusted me to be in the kingdom of darkness, and knew that when he called me, because he chose me before the foundations of the world, that I would come to him because I am his sheep. And I love that scripture in the book of John that says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And when I call them, they come to me. And he knew that I would come to him. And he trusted me because knowing that when he brought me out of the occult, I would then be able to expose the deception and the evil strategies the enemy has, that disguises and culture and all things that seemingly are innocent.
Yes, yeah.
Ended up stealing so much of my life.
I think that, again, so many things are going through my head. But just to go back to what you've been sharing, I love this guy. Did you say his name was Alfred?
Yes. Yes.
I love how he just radiated his light. And I love how he sent you that video, which was a game changer for you. Like, you were so ripe. You know, like, I love how that whole time, though you were drenched in darkness, it's like your heart was actually like this little lamb. You know, like you were so deceived. You never became evil. It's like you were in this evil realm, but your heart never became evil. In your heart, you were just this precious lamb who actually doing good.
Amen.
The minute you realize that, oh my gosh, I'm not doing good. This isn't healing. This isn't for God. Immediately, you came out. But what sealed that was that obedience of this other Christian who
Yes.
went ahead and sent you that video. Because we all, you
Yeah.
know, come across people that we think that person is definitely in the occult. But how much of us actually go as far as sending something that literally could set them free in a split second? So I love this young man's obedience. I love how that was God used as a catalyst for you to just
Yes.
really step out. And I love how the Lord ministered to you that night, just the whole, really, just the whole journey towards it. I definitely want to spend a few minutes talking about a couple of things. One, I would just love for you to share. I know the Lord had put something on your heart about going after the one, you know, when it comes to the sheep. So I definitely want to give you some to speak about that. But before we do that, so why don't you share, how has it been for you since being set free from the kingdom of darkness? What does it look like for you right now, walking in his light? Like, how are you sharing? How are you radiating his beauty, his glory, his truth? Like, how are you doing that? And how has your life changed since he actually set you free?
Amen. I mean, it's really only his amazing grace that I can even be here sharing today. Because you know, the past sort of 3.5 years have been a battle, and you know, the very beginning of realizing that I am between two kingdoms, and that I chose, as you say, my obedience to him, that I want to be part of your kingdom, Lord. And I had no pastor. I had no fellowship. I had nothing. I just had a bunch of witches and crystals, and that's all I had. And I had a family that was saying, "You're crazy." And so, and I'm now in the Lord's kingdom. I'm going to die. So it was a real battle to fully come in to his kingdom and to serve him. And that is the obedience that I walk in every single day, every single minute, walking with Jesus. It is a daily joy and and also a daily battle. And the what I just wanted to mention as well, which I felt was important, is that all of the things that the enemy gave me, he wanted back. And so I remember being awoken by the devil one morning, the next morning, and he was laughing and speaking in demonic tongues. And my whole, every part of my being could feel fear and trembling. It was just, my heart was racing as he was laughing. And then, but part of me was glad, because I thought, now I know you're real. And if I know you're real, I could fight you. You know, you know, it just made me even more assured that, oh my God, like, the Lord has just taken away all of the scales that had blinded me for all these years. But what the devil said to me was, "I'm coming to collect."
Wow.
And this is what I really want people to understand, that the devil can give you a lot of stuff, but he wants your life. And and this is how serious it is, because the devil doesn't play. On Monday, my mum attempted suicide, but by God's grace, she is alive today. And so for me, that month of 30 days was really the Lord testing me, testing my faith, testing my obedience. I decided to fast. So now I had no pastor, I had no understanding. I just literally had the Bible, His Word, His Holy Spirit teaching me, training me in spiritual warfare boot camp. I mean, I was like, devils were coming out of every, you know, out of the woodworks trying to kill me before really arriving in His kingdom. So it was a matter of life and death. And I fasted for 30 days. I took the elements of wine and bread. And on that last day, I presented them to the Lord. I took the sacraments and He said, "Welcome to my kingdom."
Wow.
And I was in. And, you know, that meant so much to me, that battle, that fight, His mercy, because the kingdom of darkness didn't want to let me go. You know, I was the high-powered witch. I mean, they did not want to let me go. They would rather see me die than release me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of His redemptive grace, because of His mercy and His love for me, He brought me into His kingdom and to serve Him. And, you know, that it's that level almost like servant leadership that, you know, when you ask me about how do I now conduct myself, it's that sacrificial love that not only I have for Him, but I also have for people. And I have for, in the same way that He has for the broken, He has that love for the lost sheep. He goes after the one. You know, if anyone's listening to this and they're feeling like they are trapped in the occult, I just want you to know that in Christ there is no condemnation. And it's just purely that acceptance that I have in Him, that I give my life to Him. You know, He owes me nothing. I owe Him everything. And I commit myself to serve Him as my shepherd, as my leader. I mean, that's my favorite psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, we have value in Christ.
Yeah.
We have value.
Wow. I love
that. And that for me was a new identity. It yeah. was my new identity now that I had been engrafted in His family, that He signed off my adoption papers with His precious blood that He won on the cross for me. And so I walk as His new creation. I walk as His daughter. I'm, you know, it's, yes, it's a daily battle. I truly believe that the closer you get to the throne of God, the thinner the air gets. And, but what a joy to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your savior.
Absolutely.
And I just hang my hat on that every day.
Yeah, I love that. Wow, Elizabeth, I love that, because you're not playing Christianity. You know, like, it cost Jesus everything to save you, and you had to pay a huge price yourself, you know, to come into the kingdom. You had to fast, you had to contend, you're still contending. Your life is a life of contending, but you do it from a place of rest, and you do it from that place of intimacy with the Lord. And what I love is, because of what the Lord brought you out of, you're not living a mediocre Christianity. You're not just, you know, culturally Christian. You're not, you know, lukewarm, and you're not going up and down. I mean, you are in this thing so that Jesus can get His reward, and you want you want that level of freedom and that level of light and love that you have experienced. You want His bride to experience that. You want those that are lost to experience that. And so the
yes. your Amen.
Is like, you're living the real thing, which I think, like, I think outside of that, Christianity is powerless. You know, like, if you are not truly sold out, if you don't actually truly you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you're not rooted in that place of intimacy and abiding, and you are actually understanding what it takes to be prepared as the bride of Christ, because it cost him everything, you know, it cost him everything to purchase our freedom. If you are not living in that place, or you're not certainly aspiring to walk that walk, then it's not even worth it. Being a Christian is not even worth it. You've got to either be actually living a real life of surrender and understanding what it takes to actually walk in the calling that he has for us, that he purchased us with his blood for. If you're not desiring that, and that's not what drives you as a Christian, you might as well be part of the world. You know, and so I love that you're really living the real thing, and I love that the enemy no longer has a hold on you, and I love Amen. That now you get your light so boldly for his glory, and you are helping to prepare the bride for him, and that you're occupying your spheres of influence, that you're taking Jesus now into those dark places, you're ministering to people, you're bold, like you're sharing the strategies of warfare and all these things, but it's all rooted in intimacy with him, which I absolutely love. Before we pray, is there anything that you want to share, that you want to like encourage the listeners with when it comes to this whole area of being set free from the occult and walking in his glorious love and light? What is on your heart to actually share with the listeners before I get you to pray?
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. Praise God. I think it's about identity, you know, that the Lord has really laid that on my heart, that we have value in him. And it's that value that other people can see, you know, as his ambassadors, and also the heart of humanity, that he came to seek and to save the lost. And I think sometimes it's easy when we're in this, you know, wonderful kind of fellowship and Christendom, to look on people that are trapped in the occult, and to see them as evil, and you know, maybe they'll never get saved. I mean, even I had someone say to me, I didn't think anyone could get saved in the occult, and actually look at what the Lord has done for me, that he saved me, sanctified me, cleansed, washed me clean, and now, you know, I am a faithful servant for him, and I will be, you know, for the rest of my life. Praise God. So I think it's really about not judging people, and to see, you know, the heart of humanity, that he came to save them. So maybe the Lord is sending you into areas of your workplace where, you know, you might find yourself sitting next to someone who practices New Age. How are you going to minister to them? Is it, you know, take it from a place of that love that he has for this one soul that he paid the price for. And you know, this is what I am really passionate about doing in my daily walk with him, in my, you know, in kingdom work, in the work I do in leadership, and just really taking his example of that humility, that sacrifice, and walking in that. I mean, you know, yes, there are devils, yes, there is warfare, and you know me, Bobby, I'm just, when, you know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, I'm on it. But sometimes it's not, it's the human side as well, it's the human heart, and I don't think we can forget that as well. So it's really kind of having all of those elements in your warfare, you know. And he's equipped you, he's covered you, he strengthens you, and it's really about taking that into the world. I mean, when he said to me, bring light to those who are in darkness. I truly believe he sealed his mission in my heart that day. That is my mission, it's part of the ministry and the purpose that he's given me, because the enemy wants to steal, kill and destroy, but he wants to steal your identity. He's an identity thief, and he wants to destroy your destiny. And so it's really up to us to now fight for that, to contend for that every day, to walk in that destiny that God has, the plan that God has for you, and not to get distracted with the things of this world, because there are things every day that we can watch on television or that we can listen to, you know, that open up these doors, and it doesn't have to just be the occult, it could be many other things. So I think it's it's just such a joy that, you know, every day I say his joy is my strength, and I just walk in that. So I just want to encourage everyone that's listening to walk in that authority, that identity that Christ has for you. Walk in it and take back what the enemy has stolen.
So good. And I love just that emphasis on the love. You know, everything we do has to come from a place of love, that compassion and mercy. And yeah, we slay the heads of those giants, you know, those spirits in the darkness, but we love people, you know.
Amen.
We love people. So yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, sweetheart. Thank you so much for
thank you, Bobby. Yeah, we thank God for this time.
Totally. And I would love for you just to pray whatever's on your heart, and just particularly for anyone who might feel that they're caught up in the occult, or also for those that have to minister to people, you know, that are in that realm. But yeah, please go ahead and pray.
Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We just come before your throne of mercy and grace. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the power of your gospel, the power of your truth and your word. And Lord, for those that are listening, Lord, I just pray your love and your life upon them. I just want to speak your life upon them, your purpose upon them, your destiny upon them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, and by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, we just take a stand against every fear devil that is tormenting my brothers and sisters right now, in their hearts, in their minds, in their lives. We just say, be destroyed in the name of Jesus. We reject every evil report of fear that is sent their way, either through this podcast or in any aspect of their lives. We just bind you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We refuse you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just declare over their lives right now, their families, their purpose and their destinies, that no weapon of demonic fear that has been formed against them will accomplish its goal. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the fire of the Holy Spirit encircle them, encircle their families, their homes. In the name of Jesus, let it burn all the demonic fear mongering to ashes. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for my sister Bobby. And I thank you, Lord, for her mission that you have set upon her heart. I pray, oh God, your anointing upon this podcast, that it will reach the hearts and the minds of whoever, Lord, that you have set your heart on. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory in the mighty, untouchable name, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. We absolutely agree. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Amen. Thank you, Bobby.
Your testimony is
such a blessing.
I feel like we could have kept going. There was just so much, and I had so many questions. If people want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram account, and you can also reach me by email. I believe Bobby will share that with you as part of this podcast. So feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy just to pray with you. And if you want to share anything that if you feel that this has touched you, then please reach out to me. Yeah, I'll be happy to hear from you.
Guys, I will definitely put Elizabeth's details in the descriptions so you guys can reach out to her. Thank you so much for listening.
Amen. Thank God.
Pray, guys, that you are so, so, so blessed. And once again, Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. We thank God for this time.
Beautiful people, before you go, I do just want to remind you about Sexpo happening from the 4th to the 6th of April in Clapham Junction in London. A 3-day conference of incredible worship with Steve Tebb and Dwayne Morgan, and life-changing teachings from myself, from Dom and Thea Muir, from Pastor Dave Gill, Ruth Rawling, Sarah Sedgwick. I mean, honestly, teachings that will truly equip you, that will encourage you, that will help you rise up as salt and light. We're going to have breakout sessions, we're going to have Q&A panels, we've got a Gen Z night, we've got children's sessions that are going to use art and creativity to help children understand about biblical sexuality and their identity in Christ. We've got sessions for teenagers that day as well. I mean, it's going to be power-packed, and you are going to be so transformed. Please tell everyone you know. It's a conference that's for the whole family, whether you're a leader, whether you're an individual, whether you work with youth, whether you're a teacher, whether you're married, whether you are in your older years and you literally just want to get equipped. I mean, this is the conference for you. It's so desperately needed in this generation, because there's so much deception. And as Christians, if we don't know what God's design for biblical sexuality is, we ourselves won't be free, and we're not going to be able to help set an entire sexually broken world free. But the great thing is that there is a solution, there is hope, there is freedom available. And so come and be equipped, be encouraged, be mobilize. This is the church's finest hour, and I truly believe that Sexpo is a pivotal part of us being equipped for all that the Lord has for us. So please head to livinginlight.co.uk/Sexpo and find out more about the conference, get tickets, share it with everyone you know. And I honestly hope to see you there, friends. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you will join me again next week.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's show. All related social media handles and links can be found in the notes section. If you did enjoy today's episode, then please do feel free to share it, and do subscribe to the podcast if you want to know when a new episode is heading your way. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do that via Instagram or Facebook, or you can head over to livinginlight.co.uk. I cannot wait to be with you guys again, and thank you so much for listening to the Living in Light podcast. Because you're beautiful, so beautiful.